Okay, we're going to start. First of all, let me say thank you for coming to this workshop on Atmosphere of Recovery. My name is Michael. I'm a World Board member, and first of all, I'm an addict. Okay. Now, you're wondering why I've got this really neat American accent. And I'm living in Spain. Well, actually, it's a strange story. I was actually born in London, England. But I've been living in Spain for over 30 years. So that's why I'm from Spain. It was longer in Spain than I've been in England. Today, we're going to talk about an atmosphere of recovery. I have somebody who's going to help me. Let me introduce you to Ron Blake.
Hi, guys. My name's Ron. I'm an addict. I've also got a weird accent. And I'm a World Board member as well. And we're gonna attempt to do this thing on an atmosphere of recovery. I guess the reason you're all here is because maybe you've sort of experienced problems in your group, that something has sort of affected the sort of safe atmosphere of recovery for newcomers. And so what we do here, if you've never done one of these things before, is we have a big group discussion for a while, and then we sit around the table and we sort of brainstorm for a while, and we find that's a much better way of doing stuff. What's my radio still on? I'm having voices. And just to let the people know who are coming in, if you can sort of move as close to the front as you can, because it doesn't work if everybody's really spread out. We've really found that by doing these workshops where people sit around at a small table, I say six people, that everybody gets a chance to say something. Everybody gets a chance to be heard. I don't know if you've experienced being in an area meeting or something where there's 20 people who've got their hands up, and by the time it's your turn, they've already moved on to something else. You know, it can be really sort of frustrating. This is a great way for everybody to actually be able to input. And all the stuff that comes out of these things actually goes into a much bigger sort of information base. This can then be sort of accessed on the through the World Service Office. Michael.
Okay. Right. This workshop is on an atmosphere of recovery. Just on a personal note, I'd like to say that I wouldn't be here if the people in the group I first went to hadn't given me some love. I just wouldn't be here. I would have run away because I was one frightened addict. So for me personally, an atmosphere of recovery in the meetings is really important. Where I come from, the groups are very small. My local group, there are about 30 people maximum. Like, that's a big meeting. It's a convention. It's a big place. And we're very close. Let me just tell you something that happened recently. Just about a week ago, I was in a meeting, and one of the people who were at that meeting gave me a phone call 4 a.m. His son had been killed in a car accident. He was really taken apart by that. The next morning, he had to go to... In Spain, they bury you really quick. They don't hang around. Day, you're gone. So I decided I would go to this place, which was about 150 kilometers away, where his son was, to see him, give him a hug, this type of thing. And I found the other 30 members of my group there. I just don't know how that happened. The only thing I can say, not only did I cry for the pain of this person, but I cried because I saw that this fellowship works and there is love here. Really, certainly my group that's there. So for me, that's one of my experiences with recovery. As Ron said before, we're going to do some things here. All of you, for sure, all of you have experiences like mine. You know, this is a wee fellowship. It's not me on my own. I'm sure all of you can tell me a story just like mine. That's what I want to hear today. Because we're at the office... We get emails, we get people calling us, telling us about fights, about people being abusive, about predators. We hear all that. And in my own personal case, if somebody had taken advantage of me, hit me, insulted me, I would not be here today. I wouldn't be here. I was too frightened. In my case, what happened, people gave me hugs, they told me it was okay, they listened to me. This is my experience, and we need yours. Why is this, why are we talking about this? What are the reasons we're talking about? Why does the fellowship need to talk about this? As I say, at the World Service Office, we get emails, phone calls about these problems. I really like to do something about them. Also, occasionally we have round tables with professionals and we ask them how they see us. Because they're not in our meetings. They're not there. So, you know, they've heard from disgruntled people. Maybe you've come to one meeting and been treated badly. So they go and tell their local doctor, hey, that NA just doesn't work, man. They told me to get out of the room. They insulted me. They tried to screw my wife, whatever. So this doctor, when somebody has a drug problem and wants to send somebody to NA, what's going to flash through his mind? What's he going to think of? And we've heard this. We sat around tables with professionals and we've heard this. This is true. So today, what we're going to do, first of all, I'd like to ask anyone who's familiar with how these workshops work to put their hands up so I can just get an idea if I really need to go into detail. Hi, there's a lot of you, eh?
That's great.
Okay. Good. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have a large group and small group discussions. The large group discussion will be, we will put two questions across. And then we will talk about this. Okay? And after we've heard what people have to say generally, what we will do then is we'll break into small groups and we will ask you for answers. Somebody came up to me before and they asked me, you know, sort of, why am I here or, you know, can I be here? And I told them I needed their help. Where are you? Are you still here? Can you put your hand up? Can I see you? Okay, I can't see you. Okay, but I need your help. This is really what this is all about. What you say today, it will come back to the office and we may be able to improve what we do. So that when some doctor, psychiatrist, whatever, is recommending Narcotics Anonymous, he's got something good to say about it. Okay? Okay, we have an initial exercise just to warm you up, just to get the feel of it. First of all, each table, this is why we need you to move down on tables, will need a facilitator. The facilitator will be responsible for the table, making sure there's order and that things that are supposed to be done get done. Okay?
Well.
Then what we will need is somebody to take down notes. Okay. So we can have a record of what you say. Okay. Let me just before this goes, there's more people are coming in than I expected or than we expected. If anybody needs stuff on their table, why don't you come down and pick some stuff up here. One, send somebody down from your table. If you haven't got anything, Ron will give you what you need. Okay? Okay, good. Thank you for that. Okay, as I say, what we're going to do now, just to get the feel of what a workshop is like, we're going to ask you on your table, with your facilitator, with your recorder, for 5 minutes to talk about a name for your table. Choose a name for your table. If I was an addict coming into the program and the first thing I saw was the name you have chosen, would it be good for me? Would I want to come? Would I want to stay? Is there a message of recovery there? Okay? So I'm going to be quiet now, and I'm going to give you 5 minutes to choose a name for your table. There's some paper on your tables. Write the name, and we will go around afterwards, and we will ask what your name is and why you've chosen it. Okay? Thank you.
Has everybody settled on a name then? Anybody who hasn't come up with a name? Is there a table that hasn't come up with a name yet? Good, okay, they're still going down there. Now look, it doesn't have to be the most brilliant name, you're just going to have to go with what you've got. Yeah, keep it simple, that's not a bad name. Okay, I'm going to start with this table over here. Okay. Do you want to say your name and what your name of your table is?
My name is Jane, and I'm an addict from North Carolina. And the name of our group here at this table is Hope Without Dope.
Hope Without Dope. Okay. Michael, what's your table over there? What do they call themselves?
Got a name?
Yes. Okay, go for it.
It's Free Yourself.
Ooh.
She's the facilitator. You're the facilitator.
I'm Michael. I'm an addict from London, England, and our group is Free Yourself.
Okay, well,
thank you, Michael.
This is great. My wife wants to do it. Cliff, addict from California. We had a lot of choices to choose from because we like this exercise a lot. And we combined a couple of them, so we ended up with clean ... just for today. Did you write that down, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clean.
Thank you, Rob.
It's okay, it's okay. What about this table here?
How's it, everybody? I'm an addict. My name's Julius. Voted on open arms. Due to the fact try and make it a loving atmosphere, giving a newcomer a hug as he walks in, making him feel at home so that he can stay.
Cool, thank you. Okay. And you guys, what about this table over here? I hope every table's got a spokesman and a...
Fred, addict from New York. And we kept it simple by saying it works.
Here's a big table.
My name is Errol, and I'm an addict from Philadelphia. We only had a few selections, but we chose We're Never Alone.
Okay.
I'm Ross. I'm an addict from Oakland, and our name is Desire to Stop, taken from the third tradition.
Thanks, Ross. Okay. Those people who are coming in, we're really trying to sort of move people down the front so there's not so many gaps. There's a table down here that's only got 3 people on it, so if somebody wants to come and join them, they're looking a bit lonely. You know what they say about an addict on their own. Okay, have you guys hit me on that?
Hi, everybody. My name's Chris. I'm an addict from San Jose, California. And we came up with It's Never Too Late.
Okay, good.
I'm an addict named John from Richmond. We have a vision of hope.
Vision of hope.
Thank you.
What about this table here?
My name's Margie. I'm an addict from Florida. And we have You Are Welcome. Well, we've even got an emblem and everything here.
Who haven't we talked to?
I'm Dan. I'm an addict from Bonita Springs, Florida. And we are the Welcome Home Group.
The Welcome Home Group. Fantastic. There's a table over here that's really keen to tell us what their name is.
An addict called Kenny from New Jersey. And that group stole our name. Our name is You Are Welcome.
Okay, cool. Maybe You Are Welcome too. How about that?
Hi, everybody. My name is Lisa, and I'm from Maui. And I'm definitely an addict. Our group is Welcome to Life.
Okay, all right. Good. Okay.
All right. Well, everybody wants to tell us what their name is.
Aloha, my name is Doris, and I'm an addict. And I come from Geneva, the French-speaking part of Switzerland. And we wanted to call our group Hope, but in French, Espoir.
I'm an addict from Hutchinson, Kansas, and my name's Tanya. We had several ideas, too, so we combined a couple of them, and our group is named No Fear, Never Alone.
Okay. You got one over there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm an addict named Jimmy. I'm from Washington, D.C., and we combined a couple ideas and have Welcome to Freedom.
My name is Cecil. I'm a recovering addict, and I'm from Phoenix. They chose me as a facilitator, and Miracles Happen Here is the name of our group. It's open meeting. it's actually also we thought that we would have a person at the door to greet the people, so to make the newcomer feel at home. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I just noticed. We're trying to bunch the tables up a bit. If you guys could sort of move together to a table or find a space where there's some... Find a place where there's some space, that's what I'm trying to say. Because we're running out of stuff to put on tables. We didn't expect this many people. We're overwhelmed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. You get the feel of it? You get how it is to work together? This is how this program works. It works together. You come up with some really good ideas. Moving. If I was coming to your groups, I would have stayed. Really, welcome, open arms. Beautiful stuff for me. Okay, now we're going to try and see, we're going to talk about it all together. You're going to get a chance. I'm sorry we couldn't get the names from all the tables. It's a question of time. You know, we've got a time limit here. It's not that we don't want to hear them. We do. It's just a question of time. Okay, we have some questions here, and we would like to hear your opinion about them. The first one would be, recovery has some challenges. What do you think are the challenges to an atmosphere of recovery in your group? What do you think? What do you think are the challenges to an atmosphere of recovery? What are the difficulties? So I'd like to hear some people... who've got something to say about that? You just stick your hand up and me and Ron will go around. Okay, let's try.
My name is Virgil. I'm an addict from Greater Los Angeles. Hell, stop using.
Stop using.
Right. What makes a group attractive? Can you say that? Yeah? Okay, say it.
What makes a group attractive?
Atmosphere.
Okay.
Someone else, what makes a group attractive?
Laughter.
Laughter, good, yeah. Okay.
One more.
I'm an addict from Honolulu, Hawaii. My name's Howard. What makes a group attractive? Actually, it's the personal contact of a greeter or someone actually welcoming someone to the room physically.
That's right.
Yeah? More? Yep, we'll go on here.
We might help you get.
My name's Annette, and I'm an addict from the state of Washington. And one thing would be people not talking during the meeting while others are talking.
Okay. Right, some more. Group attractive. I'll get over there.
I'm an addict. My name is Martin from Virginia. And I think for our group is that we carry a message of recovery from a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay. Yeah, just some more.
I'm Tommy. I'm from Chicago. What made our group attractive
is that we have a form of identification that when I came in, I didn't feel like I was all alone anymore.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Annette, recovering addict from Atlanta, Georgia. For me, then, love and service of any kind always drew me.
I'm a recovering addict from Casper, Wyoming. And people in my home group loved me when I wasn't lovable. That made it attractive to me.
Okay, we're going to change the question around. What makes a group strong? What makes it strong? What makes this group work?
I'm Jane, and I'm still an addict. Old-timers with multiple years of recovery still coming to meetings, sharing their hope, strength, and experience with a newcomer. Because of my group, they're not coming.
Okay, thank you.
Marty B., Big Island. One word, unity.
Yep.
Addict called Andrew, just commitment. And opening the meeting on time and ending it on time and having people there.
Yeah.
Millicent from Georgia. Not letting the atmosphere be have an undiluted message of recovery.
Thank you.
Hello, family. My name is Henry. I'm from Brooklyn, New York City. And our group came up with commitments. Own up with them, keeping them, and showing up.
Okay. I'm an addict named Ronald. From Brooklyn, and I would say diversity, just like we have here. That's true. Thank you.
I'm Dwight Addick from San Diego, and I think it's, it's unity, but the members expressing unconditional love to not only the familiar members, but to the newcomers also on an equal basis.
I'm Addick and Joel from Virginia. In our group, it's service positions, which are always full, and taking the time annually for a group inventory.
Fred again, New York. Meetings that have solutions and not just a whole bunch of puking.
Okay. I'm Ross, addict from Oakland, and we came up with consistency with a purpose.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ.
My name is Mike. I'm an addict from Sacramento. That's California, if you don't know. And we decided that a home group environment makes a meeting real strong, encouraging people to be a member of the home group.
Okay.
Kareem from Las Vegas, recovering. Principles.
I'm Adrienne. I'm an addict from South Florida. My home group, the secretary welcomes everyone and tells them that we're here in an atmosphere of recovery to help each other stay clean. And she invites everyone to come to our 2020 club. And she explains it 20 minutes before the meeting, 20 minutes after the meeting. Come and get to know one another so we can help each other share.
Okay, another question. I heard a lot of stuff here. Do we have any traditions or any concepts that talk about what we're talking about now? Can anyone tell me? Yeah, we'll go on.
Ogden, Utah, Mandy. I'm an addict named Mandy. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness.
Thank you. Any traditions, concepts that talk about this?
I love the first tradition. I'm Alan, I'm an addict. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And for me, that means no gossiping. You know, we all fall into that. But if you consciously prevent yourself from gossiping, you'll be in unity.
Just a question here. Are we united? In this room, are we united? Oh, that's pretty weak. Are we united? Are we united? We're united. That's what works. Any more traditions over there?
Tradition 3, a desire to stop using.
Hey, my name is Errol from Oakland, California. And I personally like the fifth tradition. Each group carrying the message and not the mess.
Good, another question. Do we have a message?
Yes.
But do we have a strong message?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm Michael, I'm an addict.
Hi, Michael.
It's in tradition one. As a group, however, we have found many common themes in our addiction. One of these was the need to prove self-sufficiency. We were convinced that we could make it on our alone and proceeded to live life on that basis. The results were disastrous. And in the end, each of us had to admit that self-sufficiency was a lie. This admission, the starting point of our recovery, and is the primary point of unity for our fellowship.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Okay. Okay, well, let's get these ideas on the table. Now, this is the fun part. Now we're going to break into small groups, and we do have two questions that we would like the answers. Afterwards, we're going to hear your answers. We want you to write them down, and at the end of the session, if you have something special, you write it down on the paper, you bring it to the front desk, and we will take it to the World Service Office, and we will look at it. Definitely. Okay? Okay, so what we need to do now is, these are the two questions. What are the challenges to an atmosphere of recovery? Which I said before. And what are the solutions to these challenges? What are the solutions to these challenges? I heard some of the solutions here today. So what I need you to do is, we're going to break off into these small groups. Your facilitator will be responsible for carrying this out, making sure that you... I would dedicate the first 10 minutes, because you've got 20 minutes, 25 minutes, to the challenges. I'm sure there's going to be a long list there. Let's change that around. Try and make a longer list for solutions that we can use, to help the addict who is out there and comes into a meeting and he wants to stay. This is what this is about.
Well, now this is an interesting atmosphere.
Okay, is that clear? Is it clear? You've got around between 20, 25 minutes to do this.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Now, just before you start, I hope that everybody sort of remembered all the things that people were saying before when people were talking about the things that make a good atmosphere of recovery. People talked about a whole lot of things. If there's a few things that sort of come up time and time again. Can I just get you to hang on just a sec? Hang on a sec. Whoa. Sorry. Hang on a second. Hello? Sorry. There's a few things that come up all the time. And it's absolutely fine for you to sort of like to do them. The things that we find that always come up is people talking about, one of the big problems is people selling drugs in meetings. Okay? Now, I actually sort of think it doesn't happen as often as people say it does. But it's one of those stories that gets built up and built up and built up, and it's an image that sort of comes from the outside. So one of the things is, how do we deal with that sort of image? You know, so we don't want to hear just about the sort of problems. We want to hear about how do we deal with the problems? You know, another thing is, it might be just your room. You know, I've found that sort of people come to meetings, and for some reason, for no apparent reason, they just stop going to a room. And what it turned out to be, it was the lighting in the room. The lighting was too bright. And what they did in that meeting was they just bought some sort of softer lamps, and suddenly the room filled up. There's all sort of weird things like that, weird little solutions that sort of people can come up with. You know, some people have problems with people coming in on drug replacement. And how do we deal with that? It's a very complex problem. It's not sort of black and white, you know. And how do we sort of welcome people who are on drug replacement, but yet still follow our traditions about people sharing who are clean today? It can be very tricky. So what we'd like you to do is just be really mindful of some of this stuff when you're writing down the challenges and coming up with some of the solutions. Anyway, as Michael said, we got about 20 minutes, haven't we, to do all this? Okay, now you can talk.
Okay, the first question, the challenge is, the time's up for that. Can we go on to the solutions? I bet some of you are already on that. Yeah, I know, yeah, but it's a time thing. Challenges to recovery, now let's move on to the solutions. Let's have big, long lists, lots of answers.
Okay, maybe we can wind up. Has anybody sort of got an urgent burning desire to keep going, or do you think you've sort of got about as much as you're going to get out of this? Okay. Now, before we go any further, I would like a volunteer, somebody who can write large and legibly. So is there somebody here who would like to come up the front and be a scribe? What's your name? This is Jennifer from St. Louis, ladies and gentlemen. She's going to write for you. Let's say use the black. There was a black pen there somewhere. Okay, now we realize that some of you guys might not be able to read this because we didn't anticipate so many people, so the people up the back there, you'll just have to sort of rely on your ears and sort of trust us that we're writing down what we're writing down. Okay, so I'm going to start going around the table. And first off, we're just going to get some of the challenges that you guys came up with. And it'll be no surprise that a lot of the tables are going to come up with the same things. So who's the spokesman for this table here? Jeff.
Everybody, I'm a recovering addict named Jeff. We came up with a few challenges, one of which was committed members. Another one was service, 5% of the people doing 95% of the work. Another one was not being able to hear the readings.
So we got, if you could stand up so that the rest of the people can see you, please. Thank
you. So we got a lack of committed members, right?
Yes.
We're going to try and keep these abbreviated.
5% of the people doing 95% of the work. The next two actually deal with disruptiveness, not being able to hear the readings, and included in that would be children and or young people at the meeting that are not addicts.
So I think if we could put down an overall thing there, sort of disruptive behavior, noise, kids, blah, blah, that's great.
And then at our table we were dealing with treatment facilities dropping off 45, 50 people at a time that are new in recovery and really don't know what's going on. So I guess that comes under disruptiveness too in some form.
So that's a...
hearing the readings is very important.
So that's fantastic that there might be 50 people turning up from a treatment center, but you might not have the resources to deal with it. Okay.
And her table thought hearing the readings was very important too. That's what we got, thanks.
Okay, now some of you guys are going to come up with similar things. Michael, do you want to see what your table over there's got?
Hello, my name is Renal Manatic. One of the problems in our area is that we have an individual, or we've had individuals that are violent. What they are is they're stalking. This particular is have been in the fellowship for a while. When he's on his medication, he's fine. He gets clean time. When he's off, people are fearful to go to meetings. He goes behind people, pretending to hit them. And the problem is that do we ask this person not to come anymore because everybody's welcome? Or do we have 10 other people who don't feel comfortable going to a meeting because they're worried that this individual will be there? So that's one of the things that we've been discussing on this side over here.
So that's essentially what we got up there, people stalking other people and threatening violent behavior at meetings. Okay, somebody had their hand up over here.
I'm Carlos. I'm an addict from Sacramento. Hello there. Yes. Yeah, we came up with a couple of the problems already that have been discussed, and the other one would be focusing and getting the meeting back on track and crosstalk and keeping the clarity of the NA message. Those are some of our challenges that we get away from. Some of the what we basically came up with as solutions would be...
These solutions later.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I missed your original question.
That's okay.
Okay.
But we're just going to get the challenges now, and then because...
Okay. Then I've already said our challenges then is...
We really want to hear the solutions. Don't worry about that. I think at the moment we just want to get the challenges. And if you've got something that's on the board, that's okay to say what's already up there. We just won't write it down, that's all. Okay.
I'm an addict from Hutchinson, Kansas, named Tanya. And some of the challenges we came up with were like those, a lot of them. One that I thought was really important that we that isn't listed up there yet is lack of community support. And one that we came up with that covered a whole lot of things was attitude of indifferences, which was like cross-talking and loitering and all of that kind of thing. So, pardon me? The community, I think Patty was experiencing that in a small community, and there wasn't a whole lot of information out there about Narcotics Anonymous. And so nobody was the community wasn't helping the people who needed help to get there.
My name is Chris. I'm a recovering addict in Portland, Oregon. And we did most of ours based off of a home group idea, you know, from a home group standpoint, not from an area standpoint. But we were looking. Okay. Some of our challenges, though, that we talked about were. Medication, people being, of course, under the influence of drugs and talking during the meeting. Another one was actually the location of the meeting, having, just not having the meeting in a good place, you know, so they weren't accessible. Personalities, well, we had strong personalities, so it'd be a personalities for principles thing. I guess, and the meeting size was another one. You know, the meeting being too big. Am I going too quick for you over there? You're doing a great job. Give her a hand. The meeting size. Having a facility that's just not accommodating, and the addicts, most addicts, unfortunately newcomers, show up a little bit late, and if the meeting's too big and they can't get in the door, well, of course they turn around and they leave. That's a problem. Another one is, cliques. Having people calling on people, having a secretary that knows everybody, picking certain chair people all the time, and hearing the same message from the same people all the time. I think that was one of them for us too. Not feeling welcome. That's another one for us. And that was about it, actually, for us. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is John. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Yeah, I'm out of MIA. And our group, we're talking, discussing the issue that finding location, you know, and also we were talking about the atmosphere of recovery. And we also were talking about greeting newcomers, you know. And we also were talking about people coming into the fellowship and they coming off of court, signing papers, and they coming in with the idea that they can still sell drugs in our meetings. We talked about that, and that was a big issue for one lady in our group and in her area. And what we started thinking about, we ain't got to talk about the solution right now, do we? But we were discussing that too. Okay, and these are the problems.
Okay, thank you. My name's Chris. I'm an addict. And another problem that came up in our group was anonymity. People honoring anonymity outside of meeting places. And another thing, we have a 16-year-old recovering addict in our group who has been clean for 14 months, who talked about several experiences with predators approaching her sexually, and that's something that needs to be probably looked at.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Wanda, and I'm an addict from California. Hi. Okay, one of our challenges is applying the traditions on a group level in a mannerable way. And that's meaning if somebody's breaking the traditions, instead of somebody standing up, being all controlling and condescending, maybe do it in other ways. And then another one is people holding the meeting hostage. Whew, that's a big one. Okay. And then one other is dumping personal resentments towards one person to the whole meeting. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nack named Jimmy, still from Washington, D.C. we talked about one of our major things we talked about is court slips and how to deal with people bringing in court slips and signing them and, you know, when you sign them and those types of things. Other things we talked about was some problems in terms of member behavior, threatening the meeting location. Somebody in our group had a church that had 8 meetings in it, kick all the meetings out recently because of the way members were behaving after the meeting. And the other one of the other things we did talk about that had was 13th stepping and how to deal with that within the group.
I'm an addict from New Jersey called Kenny. We pretty much had a lot of what everybody else had, but one of the things I think is keeping our message NA-based rather than getting a message that's not a Narcotics Anonymous message. That was one of the challenges. Says fellowship, too much fellowship and not enough program going on at a meeting. You know, and we have also complacency, I think, which works in tolerance from old-timers. You know, I know at my home group, when we were younger and we were all like 5 years clean or less, we tended to focus on carrying a message to the newcomers and recognizing all the new faces. And now we've all been friends for 10 years or more, and we kind of posse up and look for the communicate with each other, and the newcomers kind of get left out nowadays. And it's not, you know, it's not ill-willed. It's just kind of, I don't know what to call it, but it's not good, you know. And we talk about it at our group conscience like every other month, and we slip right back into the same behavior. But and one other is a negative attitude towards service. is a challenge to our group. You know, that area circus type mentality and message that gets put out there. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. One more over there.
Yeah, my name is Earl. I'm an addict. I'm from Philadelphia. We talked about most of the same things that everyone else talks about, except for we talked about outside issues in the Narcotics Anonymous meetings, like entrepreneurship, like people selling bootleg tapes and bootleg speaker tapes and bootleg DVDs and CDs. And one of the members talking about, and also passing out literature for private parties and get-togethers after the meeting, passing them out in the meetings. And one of the other things we talked about was the lack of experience of the people that are chairpersons or secretaries or leaders are running the meetings, so that can sort of maintain and help the atmosphere of recovery.
Okay, thanks a lot. Now, look, we got time constraints. Has anybody here got anything else that hasn't been sort of mentioned that I think is really sort of important that needs to be up there? I'm just going to grab a couple really quickly. Okay.
John from Virginia, addict named John from Virginia. Two things we had that aren't really up. One was how are members in the Fellowship with Time presenting themselves to newcomers? Are they presenting themselves in an approachable manner, right? And the other one, kind of tying into predatory behavior, but I need to set a scenario around this, is that with a gay male is approaching men in the Fellowship who are brand new, broken, and may have resorted to doing things against their will or sexuality while out there. And I need to make clear that being gay myself, this is not about sexuality. All right. So we're trying to deal with how do you approach that person, maintaining the anonymity of these guys, and balancing that out. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. I want to just do one more because we really got to get on to the solutions, which is what we're here for.
I'm Dan. I'm an addict. Someone in our group had racism and racial slurs in the community and their groups.
Okay, Michael's got one.
Hello, Doris, an addict from Geneva, Switzerland. Ask professionals to observe at NA meetings in order to get an opinion, communication between us and them. And then another point, which was also of our concern, was that NA has a language of its own and have to translate it so that the normal people do understand us. Thanks.
Thank you. NA speak is what we call it, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go around the room and we want to hear some solutions. Now, I know that, you know, we're not going to be able to sort of address everyone up there, but we will get a bit of an idea as time goes by. All right?
My name is Chris. I'm an addict. And some of the solutions we talked about are just education through learning days, stuff like that. Sponsorship. Sponsors kind of walking what they're talking. And meetings coming up with guidelines to deal with some of the various problems we have down here. And trusted servant trainings.
Brian, addict. Addict named Brian from San Mateo via Oakland. Solutions, group conscious, to put it in the format the secretary reads. If, you know, people use in meetings to you know, put that into what the secretary will read before the meeting to put down some things that are problems, to do a group conscious and to put it into the format, to welcome the newcomer, you know, give phone numbers, have a beginner's meeting possibly, make sure you greet the newcomers.
Slow down.
right. Okay. My bad. Okay. Child care, possibly like for addicts, addicts that are responsible enough for child care, and maybe make a room for child care, because that was a big issue with one of our group members. They had to stop the children from coming to their meeting. And I think it's important that every addict is able to go to the meeting. And so, getting some kind of child care, maybe by alternating addicts per weekly. Let's see. If someone uses in the meeting to make sure that they're, like, talked to on the side and let it be known, or to put it in the format of the that the secretary reads, and to greet them and let them know that, you know, that isn't cool. Okay.
My name is Lara, and I'm an addict from California. I realize that we just talked about the children thing, but my personal part of this group, I just would like to represent all the mothers and fathers and parents that need and want to be in our meetings, but they're so distracted trying to watch their kids while they're in the meeting and trying to make their kids be quiet and trying not to let them get hurt, that they're not catching the message. And that's really important. We are a big, big part of NA. You know, we came up with this, our solution that we came up for that specific problem would be like the parents that, of all the children, you know, weekly would take a turn and watch all of the children collectively, and then the next week a different parent of the children that are there could take their turn. That way, instead of missing like 15 minutes having to get up and go check and get up and go check, or switching off with parents and missing 15 to 30 minutes of each meeting, they would only have to miss one meeting a month, you know, and they'd be watching, they'd be doing service that one day, that one week that they couldn't be there. And that's what, you know, we got to do our own service too, and provide for ourselves. And the second thing that I would like to bring up is that we believe that there should be a group inventory taken regularly. You know, things like group learning days, focusing on our traditions that are being violated for our specific group. That way we can address things that need to be addressed on a regular basis and work on solutions as a group. Thank you.
Carlos Addict. And what we came up with was to try to include like a theory of like physiology in the room and make it into an IP, an actual, where our world's literature committees actually come out with something in writing so that we have something to refer to in order to say this is what our collective thinking is on atmosphere. And this is how we create the atmosphere of recovery, rather than everybody just kind of interpreting it or making it up on their own. That it's really not confined to who we are, but it's what we illuminate into the atmosphere, that it's the people in the room that actually are creating the atmosphere. And that if it was somewhere in the NA literature, some type of new IP or something like that, at that point we have a piece of literature to refer to. And then we came up with some of the other solutions that other folks did about talking about the atmosphere of recovery in the preamble before we open the meeting, to remind people that we are creating the atmosphere in the room, and that to talking to people I guess after the meeting or whatever, about where they're at a line, you know, talking to them offline and trying to give them a little bit of direction on how they're introducing themselves, whether they're addict or they got 10 diseases and they want to claim all 10 before the meeting, and finding a way to do child care. And one last one is like a suggested list of topics, and in that suggested list of topics, if they need one of the topics would be the atmosphere of recovery.
Yeah, we haven't got much time, so keep it brief, please. If as many people as possible, keep it brief.
Right, I'm Nat, named Jimmy, and
One of the things we talked about, I think was mentioned also, was having regular group conscience that focuses on how well we are carrying the message and how the atmosphere of recovery is in our meetings on things like crosstalk and, you know, 13-stepping, all those things. And also is that how to stress it's the group's responsibility to address any behavior problems. And to have the clear, as part of the business meeting and the group conscience, to have the clear policy guidelines within the group on what you do with things like court papers, or how you deal with behavior and those types of things, and then to follow those guidelines, which is probably more important. And also to have a trusted service training process where you have, for example, a vice secretary in the position for a year or a period of time before taking over as secretary.
Okay. And now look, a few things are coming up here continually. You know, the thing about the preamble before at the start of the meeting, how important that is, and the thing about leadership in meetings too, how important it is that the person who's actually leading the meeting knows what they're doing.
I'm an addict named Ronald. I heard a lot of things that I wanted to mention, so I'm just going to keep it brief. What we do in my home group, and we discussed in this group, is that we observe, like the young lady said, we observe our fifth edition on a regular basis and see what our group needs. And, you know, because there's always new members attending, right? And we always looking, you know, to service that new member that comes in, because it's always about the new person. So we always observe the fifth edition. When we acknowledge it, you know, when we open up our groups. One other thing is that in our policy, in our opening format, to not disrupt the atmosphere of recovery, we have it written in that if it gets too loud or it gets too noisy or people talking out of turn and it gets chaotic, that any member can just start the serenity prayer in the hopes that we get that atmosphere back.
My name is Black Wolf, recovering addict from Portland, Oregon. And in our group, we went through several different things. The slips being signed, discussed having stamp made. You simply stamp it. If the person needing that slip signed doesn't stay for the whole meeting, they weren't there, they don't get the stamp. We had, if there's an issue fighting between group members and stuff like that, call a home group meeting and invite that member and or members to that meeting. So it's dealt with in a healthy recovery orientated way. As far as service positions and such, finding people to carry more of the load instead of it being a 10% of the people doing 100% of the work. Start something called mentorship. If you've got time and you've done these positions, it's not your job to run the meeting. It's not your meeting. But if you've been a GSR, don't watch the fish flop on the ground. Stand up and help the person be a GSR. That means take some time out of your day and go to an area service meeting. If you've been a secretary, help that person. Give back what was so freely given to you. Thank you.
Okay, we're running out of time. We've got time for one more, and then we're going to have to wrap up.
Hi, Cindy, recovering addict. One of the solutions was to practice spiritual principles, to become God-centered. Like in the middle of, we had a problem with long meetings that were argumentative, and we talked about becoming God-centered and goal and time frame setting, that you can always bring God in the room by saying a serenity prayer and starting all over again. And have selfless leaders to the self-centered leaders. Have people that are more into being selfless and selfless service instead of trying to be self-centered. And inclusion, because we talked about cliques, becoming involved with people, not staying in your own little cliques, getting involved in fellowship and be open-minded and help newcomers when they come in the room.
Okay, thanks a lot. What we'd like you guys to do is when you sort of leave here is that what you can take away from here is what you've seen and what you've heard, and think about how you can put into practice some of these things, if at all possible, in your home group, right? and say, is this one of these things, from little things, big things grow? You know, you can just take away something that might make your group work a little bit better. The other thing you can take away from here is you can do these workshops yourselves. It's pretty easy. You can get all the resources from the World Services website, na.org. You go on there. You can download all this stuff, the brainstorming guidelines, everything. Everything you need you can get, and you can do these things yourselves. And it's a great way of sort of like taking some time out of your ASC or something like that. A particular problem, it might be, you might want to do leadership, you can do infrastructure, you can do our public image, whatever. A lot of stuff came up, but this thing about a really important thing in the atmosphere of recovery is how important meetings are led. I often go to meetings and I see they put some guy who's like 3 or 4 days clean, or not 3 or 4 days, but you know, like a month clean in the chair. You know, the person's really sort of a bit afraid of how to do it, doesn't know who to ask to speak, you know, like quite often. It's really important to have somebody who's leading a meeting who knows what they're doing. That's one good way of sort of getting a good atmosphere of recovery going. So thank you all for coming. I'll just hand it over to Michael to see if he's going up the stage.
It's been a real pleasure for me to travel all the way from Spain to here. Really. Can we just have, what I really enjoyed about this was when you really said, when I asked you, is there an atmosphere of recovery in this room?
Yeah.
I'm an addict. One more.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
One more thing. One more thing. I know you can't hear me, but we're going to say it anyway. I just want you all to put your hands together for the person who actually wrote down all this stuff, Jennifer.